from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What's trending?
Well, you could probably guess what's trending. It's
my song.
It's a Victory Friday. We'll play your song again. I told you, I think it was some of your better work. It was
more complimentary. I appreciate that.
More shouting and yelling than singing. And I don't know if that was it fits you. It fit you. I thought it was a good song.
I'm going to accuse you of yelling into a microphone or two.
In the 1 o'clock hour, we'll play that again. But no, number one on what's trending, of course, the Chiefs start the season 1-0. They get the 27-20 win. We're going to talk about Xavier Worthy some more, but this was the play that stood out of the entire night.
And now the Chiefs will bring it on an end around to Xavier Worthy at the 20, 15 of the Ravens, 10, 4, touchdown! Kansas City rookie Xavier Worthy on a perfectly executed, well-blocked end around.
That was the Chiefs offensive play of the night. It's not close. First touch of his career. He gets a touchdown, and you saw the speed on full display. Of course, Mitch Olthus on the call right here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan.
Next up on what's trending, the Royals were off yesterday. Still sit 5 games up for the final wild card spot. Half game back of the Minnesota Twins, who they'll face tonight at Kauffman Stadium, starting at 7:10, first pitch, 6 o'clock for Vern's On Deck show right here on your home for the Royals, 96.5 The Fan. It'll be Cole Reagans on the mound, 10-9, 3.46 ERA, and almost 200 strikeouts. He'll be going up against the rookie who they faced a couple of weeks ago, Zebby Matthews, currently 1-2 on the season, 7.41 ERA. He has not been sharp since that first game facing Kansas City. Hopefully their offense gets to him better this time.
Another 10-plus strikeouts, please.
How close is that? Is that getting any closer for you?
I am 4 off the pace. The problem is Chris Sale.
Is he going to get an extra start on Cole or no?
I'm not sure. I haven't figured the exact schedule out, but sure. For Cole Reagans to have the most strikeouts in baseball, he's 4 off.
That's in the ballpark.
In play.
Can you hedge? Can you hedge on Garrett?
Will not let me on the strikeout prop, Mark.
Yeah,
Cole Reagans was 80-1 preseason. 80-1. Anyway, next up on What's Trending, there's more football tonight, Cody. Not just college football, but NFL this evening. It's the first time the NFL is playing in Brazil. It's the Packers, the Eagles. Kind of a weird scenario, though, with what's going on in the country there. So the players are not supposed to leave their hotel rooms. We know why they're in Brazil. Grow the game, money, get it. But man, if you're going to make teams go to a country, in this case Brazil, and you're telling them due to safety they shouldn't leave the hotel, maybe you're pushing the limits of being greedy just
a
bit too far.
There's a lot of turmoil in that country right now.
It should be a good game. Hopefully everything goes off without a hitch, but that's tonight, guys.
Man, am I signing back up for Peacock for one football game? I can just watch the Royals.
Is it on Peacock
tonight?
Yes.
Yep. In the middle of a playoff hunt.
Yes, I'm signing up for Peacock.
No, I think I'm just going to watch the Royals game.
Roger Goodell talked about that a
double
little bit.
Double TVs tonight.
Maybe I'll sign up for a free trial. I think maybe we had Peacock at one point through somebody else's. Get the free trial for this game.
If you can get another free trial.
Dude, they're always giving free trials. They just assume you won't cancel.
True, just a different email address.
Yeah, it's not that complicated.
A different email address, man.
You don't have to worry about that.
A little different email. I'll make one. Drew Nixon 69, 69, 69, 69, 69.
420 Chase. Next up on What's Joe Burrow. Next up on What's Trending, Ja'Marr Chase did speak to the media today, as I mentioned during the Chiefs Red Half Hour. He says he thinks today is the deadline to get a new deal done with Cincinnati. Says even if he is available for the game on Sunday, he'll be limited at best. Might be a game time decision for that deal. He did, however, say that he is willing to play this year for Cincinnati without a new contract.
Keep an eye on that heading into Sunday's
action. I'm sorry. Royals are on Apple tonight, too. So you got to have a different app.
Oh, my goodness.
Son of a bitch.
Just listen to the game on 96.5 The Fan. Yes. That's what's trending.
So you got to sign up for Apple and Peacock tonight.
Well, there you go. I have Apple, so we're good there. I like a couple of their shows, Slow Horses and Silo, and I watched.
I don't have any more after Ted Lasso. Yeah, I don't, and I never finished that show.
You never finished Ted Lasso?
No, I don't. I have not watched a single episode. Of Ted
I've watched like probably six or seven episodes, but I just for whatever reason, I actually haven't gotten
interesting
to wanting to finish the episodes.
Okay,
there you go. Let's talk about Xavier Worthy. I played you the highlight there.
I mean, that's one of the single biggest storylines coming out of the game, is it not?
Yeah, I mean we saw it in camp. There was a concerted effort to get him the ball. No Hollywood Brown in week one. We'll find out his status more for week two, et cetera, next week as they get set for Cincy. But Xavier Worthy played, 60%+ of the snaps. And to have an impact on three touches, I mean, that tells you everything of the talent, the athleticism, the what they can do with him throughout the season. And maybe his role grows, right, as the year continues, even with Hollywood Brown coming back. But that you can have three touches and you can say he was easily the most electric player and had the most electric play of the entire game. It's not like he had seven catches for 90 yards or something. No, three touches, but you know, a 21-yard reverse has the busted coverage play on Baltimore where he's wide open and he gets a touchdown. Didn't make any mistakes.
But you don't have to apologize for being wide open. No, you caught the ball. You went into the end zone.
Didn't make any mistakes. It really was a flawless debut for him in three touches. And the excitement and the expectation probably only grows from here based on what he was able to do. And it just gives you an idea of what they might be able to do as he gets more and more comfortable. But it has to be an ultimate confidence boost for him and the coaching staff to see him execute in those kind of snaps.
It is. It's just getting that early season confidence sometimes can boo you the rest of the way. Would I change my expectations for number of yardage I think Xavier Worthy is getting this year? Probably not. I wouldn't change that yet. Because he still only touched the ball three times because of how much they fed Rashee Rice and eventually will feed Travis Kelce and others or Hollywood Brown. But to get in there already, this is the difference between what we've seen for wide receivers that eventually work for the Chiefs and the ones who don't. This is not meant to be a knock. It is meant to state when you can tell something is already working or will work or just may never work at all. He already has more career touchdowns than Sky Moore. Do you realize how absurd? Sky Moore's been here for 2 years. He's played two full seasons for this team. He's been active for 35 games, 40 including the postseason. He's been active for this team for 40 games, and Xavier Worthy's already been in the end zone more than Sky Moore ever was. And I get it. Xavier Worthy's a first-round pick. You should have higher expectations than Sky Moore. A second-round pick, but not that different. And if they're going to get some, what we wanted out of Xavier Worthy was obvious. We said we wanted big playability and an occasional ability to get a long touchdown or an easy touchdown because of his speed. One of those touchdowns was absolutely that. That end around was because Xavier Worthy is fast. Really fast. The blocking was great. Other things were schemed
great.
Barely
got touched.
But even Tyreek Hill had to acknowledge it when he was watching the game on Twitter and was like, "Ooh, he's moving." Because you can see when he moves how fast he is. Look, they blew the coverage on the other one. They weren't going to catch him if somebody was close, but they weren't, and he got to walk into the end zone. Three touches, make the most of it, get 60 total yards. I mean, I feel fantastic about it because he's the exact weapon we were asking him to be.
This is what Xavier Worthy had to say about that play in particular, because it was something that he had a feeling about, it sounds like, earlier on in the day.
Man, it was crazy. We ran that in the preseason. I fumbled. So, I mean, shoot, it was kind of bad. But just being able to, for them to have that trust in me and I told Coach Nagy, I think this player is going to score, and it happened. So it was just an amazing moment, just my first touch being a touchdown in the field.
When did you tell him that?
We talked about, we had a walkthrough this morning. I told him this morning in the walkthrough.
as part of the scripted plays anyway. It was one of the first 15 plays of the offense for KC, so they thought that was obviously something they were going to be able to execute against Baltimore. And it was honestly a perfect execution. You mentioned down the field, even some of the blocking. Creed Humphrey just destroyed a cornerback or whatever for Baltimore. Travis was out there blocking. It was just a perfect play. And that is something that we've it's not like a play we've never seen them run before. I mean, that was a Mecole Hardman play back in the day.
Yeah, it used to be. We've seen other guys too.
Yeah, sure. That's Xavier Worthy's play now. Like that's what we're going to see in different form or fashion throughout the season. And eventually, I'm sure we'll see shots down the field. But for you to have your debut and your first touch be that is pretty special. And you can see why they were willing to trade up. Thank you, Buffalo, for that kind of talent. Not just combine speed. We just saw it on an NFL field in an NFL game on one of the bigger stages of the regular season. It's not the biggest.
Yeah, against one of the, like you said, better defenses of last season. Last season doesn't mean you're a good defense this year, but obviously they have plenty of talent. Baltimore's still going to be one of the better teams in the AFC this year, we presume. One loss is not going to change it. Didn't change the Chiefs from being one of the better teams in the AFC just because they lost week one last year. But yeah, I mean, it's hard to watch that and not be really impressed with a rookie showing up that quick. Now, I do still think Hollywood takes some of those snaps away.
Absolutely.
I even more than the speed, the touchdowns, all the things that, you know, the reason why he was drafted, right? The reasons why we thought he'd be a very good NFL player. Even more than that, the fact that Andy Reid trusted him to play 68% of the snaps told me everything I needed to know. Rashee Rice, even though their wide receivers stunk last year, and he looks like a 1,200-1,300-yard wide receiver himself. We can talk about him again in a minute, too. Even despite that, he did not get to that snap count till week 9 last year. 9. And I'm going to be like, well, Hollywood's hurt. So they didn't even have a viable wide receiver on the roster through 8 weeks. Hurt. They didn't have anybody who could catch the football. And Rashee Rice could not get to that snap count, the percentage snap count that Xavier Worthy got last night, till week 9, which means they already trust Xavier Worthy.
He's going to
have a role in this offense.
They do. I also think his actual position is clearly different than Rashee Rice. And so last year when they were working, and at the time they clearly thought Kadarius Toney was like the number one wide receiver. And you think about the routes that MVS was running compared to Rashee Rice. Like that's probably why it took even longer. But if you were looking to feel more confident as a coaching staff in, you know, giving more of a role to Xavier Worthy as the season progresses or sooner or whatever, he did everything last night to give you that confidence. I'm with you though. When Hollywood Brown comes back, whether it's against Cincy, whether it's against Atlanta, hopefully at the latest, he will eat into those snaps, but Worthy's going to obviously have a role. That kind of speed, that kind of talent, that's something you're going to make sure has touches. Yeah, some of it might be on some of the creative stuff, but eventually I think we'll see even a basic post pattern down the field or something, and some opportunities as teams are going to creep up. We'll talk about Rashee Rice some more a little bit later this hour and with Aaron Ladd in the 1 o'clock hour. If Rashee Rice is just catching these slants left and right with that kind of ease and effectiveness, and there's still Travis Kelce in the middle of the field on top of that, there will be opportunities down the field. This is just game one, and that's why everybody should be pretty excited about what we saw.
Yeah. I mean, because right now, it is hard to argue that they don't have a top five offense in the league based on what you saw. Pacheco was running through people again, bouncing off of people's backs, spinning towards first rounds, where Creed Humphrey's picking him up, being like, you didn't go down, man. Keep going. Keep running. Worthy looked the role. Rice looked incredibly improved. The whole thing with Hollywood Brown is just health. And I understand that this is a freak injury, but he does not have a strong history of being available. And so that part of it still concerns me. But yeah, I was blown away with Worthy last night.
All right, let's get to all 32 here on Cody and Gold on 96.5 The Fan.
Before week one of the NFL season?
Whoop. Week one. I'll let you start because yours is focused in on wide receivers.
Yeah, so we're talking wide receivers, and I was looking at this across the board. Stephon Diggs was talking before the, to the media like a week ago, and he said that 2023 was the worst mental space of his NFL career. And while I understand that, and he had clearly gotten tired of being Buffalo, gotten tired of however his role was or whatever was happening there, and it'll be up, he better start realizing very quick that if he doesn't like being in Houston, it's not that every quarterback or every organization is out to get him. You're the problem, not them. Because now he's been on three organizations, including Houston. The first two, he wanted out. He wanted out of Buffalo. You want it out of Minnesota. If you decide you want out of a third one where they want you out, it's you, not them. At some point, Stephon Diggs is going to have to look himself in the mirror and understand that if there are issues between him and a coaching staff, him and an organization, him and a quarterback, that some of this miscommunication, grievance, issue is him. It's not everybody else in the world. It's you.
Well, I think there's truth to that. I also believe that it's not going to be as problematic as everybody has made it out to be. I think at the end, he did not have a good relationship with Josh Allen. I also think in Buffalo last year was a tough year for them during the regular season until they got hot towards the end of the season. Now he's with a younger quarterback in C.J. Stroud. Who knows? Maybe he relates to him better. Maybe he relates to the coaching staff better. I don't know. They're probably going to win a lot of games down in Houston this year. I don't think people should be writing off Stephon Diggs. I get the background here heading into the season, but like, I still think he's a 1,000-yard receiver this year for the Texans.
His problem though has been like throw me the ball, like sort of stuff.
And I don't think he's good enough to just be the 120 targets guy anymore.
Well, and you could argue the Texans crew is good enough where it maybe shouldn't be that way because you've got so many of those guys, including Dalton Schultz. I mean, I think if there's any problem, it'll be, hey, dude, you're not throwing me the ball enough, which is a problem that we've seen over the course of these other couple of teams. For me, Brandon Ayuk, speaking of wide receivers who had negotiation stuff, he's got his deal, but he was almost, he admitted, I don't know if you guys saw this, he admitted that he made negotiations more difficult than they should have been. As far as I'm concerned, and we've said it before, get your doing, just be ready to go. Like, get...
He did not win that negotiation.
Go get yours. You don't need to apologize for being difficult in negotiations if you feel like you're worth the money that you want. Now, they're requesting the trade thing, and maybe that's a little bit pushing it, but I don't have a problem. I don't think he needs to admit that you're making stuff difficult. I mean, they're supposed to be difficult contract negotiations.
I think the argument is he just didn't win the, like sometimes people win the contract negotiations and sometimes they don't. Last year, like when Christian was holding out, he didn't win it. They won it in the offseason when he got himself his payday, but he didn't win the initial stare down.
Yeah, he had hit incentives late in the year and everything just to get close to it again. Yeah.
Ayuk didn't win that showdown.
He ended up getting the same kind of deal he was going to get anyway. He tried to use some leverage to get traded in a better deal, and then he realized the teams that were willing to come up with a trade that the Niners wanted was not something that was going to ultimately result in a trade happening. Yeah, for me, it's the rookie quarterbacks this weekend, right? And there's only two of them, unfortunately, because McCarthy's hurt, and then we know Drake May's not getting an opportunity to start week one.
Which is...
right, so it's Caleb Williams and it's Jaden Daniels. Caleb Williams, that's where all the attention's at, and I'm fascinated to see what he looks like. He enters in the best situation we've ever seen for a rookie quarterback when you consider Roma Dunze and DJ Moore and Keenan Allen and Cole Kmet, DeAndre Swift. I mean, those are all the weapons around him on a team that won 7 games last year. I'm skeptical about his head coach, but he's also got a good defense because of that head coach going forward, and they get the Titans in week one. This is a nice matchup, I think, for Caleb Williams to have maybe instant success, but he, to me, is going to end up being consensus, real deal, rookie of the year type of guy, but I want to watch what he does this weekend, that's for sure, and since the Chiefs played, we can red zone this thing up on Sunday. I can't wait. And then Jaden Daniels, I mean, same kind of thing. I think the bar is set lower. He's got the second best odds to win rookie of the year, but what is Dan Quinn, who's a defensive-minded head coach, Cliff Kingsbury's the OC. Cliff has had success as a coordinator, not as head coach, but as a coordinator in the NFL. So Jaden Daniels' mobility, I want to see how electrifying in an NFL game Jaden Daniels is, because I think he's going to have a couple moments.
He's got
but
the
can
weapons.
He do it? Can he do it in week one? Because they're playing the Bucks, right?
I wonder if it mirrors, go all the way back to 2012, and if these first 4, 5, 6 weeks mirror that of the 2012 NFL draft, in which Andrew Luck was the no doubt for sure number one pick. But the player who took the league by storm for half a season was RG3.
Yeah.
Because of that electric running ability and just kind of like free lane. Look, the better career still went to Andrew Luck, obviously, at the end, even though he retired early. But that year was funny because the no doubt everybody was going to take number one overall was Andrew Luck. And RG3 took the league by storm, at least for a stretch of time.
You guys aren't excited for Bo Nix's
Forgot about it.
I was going to say...
I did. This was that did was Gold's one. I didn't.
Did you guys see he voted as a captain?
Forgot about Bo Nix. Pretty forgettable.
Jeez. Yeah, I mean that's probably actually fits how I feel about him in the NFL.
Now you got three debuts to watch.
I'm watching two quarterbacks' debuts. The third, let me know what happens in Bo Nix. No, I did forget all about him, but
hey,
it really
voted
is
as a captain. So I don't know.
Okay, voted as the captain, Drew. How many? I mean, most quarterbacks are captains.
Are all 32 starting quarterbacks? Okay, 31 because not percent. Is every starting quarterback in the NFL a captain?
Is Sam Darnold?
Yeah, probably. Who cares? Oh man, I do not care about that. Coaches have convinced us that that matters. I just don't care.
Is like, Gardner Minshew
honorary captains for the coin toss? I don't.
True.
Care.
If you draft a quarterback in the first round, that guy better be captain. That's
first Denver Broncos rookie since Floyd some other name.
Huh?
Sam Darnold is a whatever. That's I saw some stat.
What?
Bo Nix is the first Broncos captain since like some dude in the 60s as a rookie.
Oh, okay.
Apparently John Elway didn't get named captain his rookie year. It doesn't matter. And yes, Sam Darnold is amongst the eight captains for the Vikings this year. So the only one you maybe have is Brissett. Maybe Brissett's not captain.
Yeah, eight does sound like a lot.
Yeah, I just Bo Nix irrelevant. Sorry. I mean, I know he's in the division, but irrelevant.
Yeah, I mean, just
oh my goodness.
True. What is best case scenario for Bo Nix?
You'll be shocked to find out.
For what?
Jacoby Brissett was also voted captain of the New England Patriots. Nobody cares.
So Drake May is not. The third overall pick is not.
Yeah, but he's not starting.
He's not playing.
It's a starting quarterback. That's how it works.
Okay.
Every starting quarterback is a captain. All 32 of them.
For the year, for Sunday.
I mean, both, but I mean...
This is for the year.
For the year.
For Bo Nix, yeah, I just like there's a low ceiling on what Bo Nix is going to end up being.
I think that's fair, but I think...
Like, Jaden Daniels has a chance. I'm not saying he will. Jaden Daniels has a chance to one day be in the top 10, top 5. Caleb Williams has a chance to be an MVP one day, win a Super Bowl. Bo Nix is not doing either.
Yeah, but he's still making his debut.
That's fun.
Yeah, I want to see the guy. I felt about Will Levis's debut.
I want to see the two quarterbacks that are explosive that could one day be one of the top five-ish quarterbacks in football. Bo Nix never is going to be that. So yes, Drew, I'm more focused on the other two, and no, I truly did forget about Bo Nix, like flat out, forgot about Bo Nix.
He didn't mean to do it on purpose. He was just like, "There's only two making debuts. There's a third," and you're like.
Yeah,
and you still have yet to hear Caleb Williams' competition, his new ad, and Will Levis, correct? You have not heard the...
No, we have. Oh, no. Let's hear it real quick. Can we hear Will Levis' new Mayo ad?
It is in our folder.
Because I feel about Will Levis' debut as I feel about Bo Nix's. I didn't care about either. Here it is.
I have not heard this.
Mayo Motivations with Will Levis. Mayo Game Face, be as vicious as your buffalo chicken dip is delicious. Mayo game day be delicious.
Mayo game day be delicious.
It's like a two-minute ad, dude. He's doing the splits on some mayo.
Good for him. He's embracing it. And by the way, he might as well earn his money now and all that because he's not the long-term answer in Tennessee. Come on now.
He might be gone after this year.
That's what I'm saying. He's got some weapons around him. I think there's a ceiling behind. And limitation for what Will Levis can be.
The Titans are a year behind because in a year in which you could finish dead last in the league or one of the worst teams, the pick of the litter is questionable at quarterback. I mean, there's not a Caleb Williams. There's not a Joe Burrow. There's not an Andrew Luck. There's maybe Shador, if Deion lets him go there.
Yours.
Maybe yours, which I know you don't think is a good choice, Cody.
He's grown on me a little bit, honestly. Yours looks a lot better this year. He looks more polished this year.
We'll see how he looks in the big house tomorrow.
They're going to cover against Michigan.
Michigan's
offense looked pathetic.
Speaking of quarterbacks, Michigan does not have
they do not. All right, up next, let's get right back into the Chiefs here on 96.5 The Fan and talk about the other wide receiver that looked like he might be doing that all season long.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's next.
Now it's third down, 11 for the Chiefs. Football back in their own territory at their own 47-yard line. Ravens crowd the line of scrimmage. Twist up front. Mahomes trying to buy time. Moving to his right. He's in trouble. Shakes free. Now fires the ball right side. It is caught by Kelce. First down. Down to the Raven 30-yard line. All the way across the field for 23 yards. And now, Patrick Mahomes just passed the late, great Len Dawson for the most passing yards in Kansas City Chiefs history. And it's only poetic that he goes to Travis Kelce for 23 yards to break the record.
Mitch Holtis on 96.5 The Fan. Hell of a throw, but Mitch is right there at the end. Like, it's very fitting that if Mahomes is going to break Len Dawson's record, that the guy catching the ball is the guy that's accounted for a lot of those yards. And that is Travis Kelce, of course.
Yeah, I think that qualifies. Makes the most sense, but he also made a defender miss, rolled out, and then fired an absolute dart.
Oh, it was vintage Mahomes Kelce type of play.
Yeah, because Kelce had to like freelance, broke off, did a little shimmy move to get himself open closer towards the sideline, and then Mahomes got that ball there in a half a second before the defender could even react. And that was a long third down, if I remember right.
I think that's right.
In addition to it, man, he just got it. I mean, there's nothing more to put than that. Those two just have it. They got a magical connection that probably won't ever be recreated.
But you mentioned that, and that's the difference of the final second to last play for the Ravens. Second to last play for the Ravens, we all saw, like, man, he missed Zay Flowers. Lamar, after the game, says, well, Zay or Rashad Bateman was supposed to settle in the zone or whatever.
That's what he thought they were going
right?
to do, sure.
That's the kind of stuff that doesn't happen with Mahomes and Kelce, because we've gone over this for a couple years now, but just they know where the other guy's going to be. And that's a special thing, and that's hard to replicate. But those are two contrasting situations. One side, the relationship that exists clearly with Mahomes and Kelce. On the other side, where that's not the same thing with Lamar and Bateman or Lamar and Zay Flowers. Coming up in 25 minutes, we'll have the Fan Club here on a Friday, as we do each and every Friday. Aaron Latt from 41 going to join us in studio. He was, I believe, I don't know if he was at the game last night. I don't know if I saw him last night or not. But he, of course, covers the Chiefs, and we'll have him in studio. It's been a little bit since we had that. And we'll talk to him a little bit about the rest of this weekend NFL slate. But the other receiver, other than Travis Kelce, that we throughout much of this season are going to be talking about is Rashee Rice. And he looked every bit like the number one wide receiver.
He looked like a top
10
receiver
team
in the NFL last night.
He was incredible. And it was underneath. It was inside the hash, slants all over the place. There was the one particular play where, like, just the way, like, I don't know the exact terminology that to describe it properly. I didn't play the position. But, like, almost like he, like, stuck his foot and then cut back inside. It was just really impressive the way he just completely fooled the defender. And that's a play that might be there all year, man. And if it's not there, then who's open? Is Travis going to be open in the middle of the field? Is he going to take deep shots down the field? Rashee Rice's job, we said, was going to be easier because of Worthy and eventually Hollywood Brown. And last night, I think you saw some of that.
He got a lot of matchups on linebackers, which is a matchup you're never going to win. Linebackers and safeties on Rashee Rice a lot. Now, I think next week they will sort through that more so than what they had a year ago, and they'll find a way, or than a week ago, and Cincinnati will probably have a better plan. But it's fairly obvious that this is going to work. I had told you last night that I thought he looked like Anquan Boldin at his peak powers, and I don't know if he's going to finish with Anquan's best season, which is like 1,400 yards. He had 7,000-yard seasons, including one, his rookie season, at 1,300 yards, and another one, he was 34.
Was it last year that you said Anquan Boldin, we joked, and I'm like, he looks like Jerry Rice, and people freaked out because we were joking.
I thought that that's what he could turn into. That's what he actually looked like in that game last night. The difference is, I think the Chiefs have been trying to make it clear to people who cover the team, right? We've had Nate Taylor on the show. You and I talked to some people inside the organization. They were raving about Rashee Rice, and you better watch out for the developmental leap he was going to take, to the point that before this season, I told you I thought Rashee Rice was a 1,200-yard wide receiver. I think what we found out last night is the rest of the league didn't believe him. They didn't heed those warnings as serious, and they didn't realize just how much better Rashee Rice got in an offseason, because now he knows what he's doing. All the skills that made him a good wide receiver for the team last year were there. They didn't trust him to know what he was doing, and now they do, which means he's dangerous. And if he's dangerous, Worthy's more dangerous, and Hollywood Brown's more dangerous. Who the hell's going to be focusing on Hollywood Brown? If they got to cover Rashee Rice, who's capable of apparently 7 for 103, Travis has been capable of that for a decade, Xavier Worthy just put the league on notice a little bit, Pacheco's still a force, and now what? Hollywood gets to run on his own?
This is why they're going to end up being a top five offense this year when they get everything working, when they get things clicking, timing right, because P. Ryan should have had a touchdown. They were just a tad bit off there. Pacheco dropped a pass on a wheel route or whatever. Like, those are plays that when they're clicking, they're not going to miss. And so this could have easily been a 35-plus point performance yesterday.
Easily.
I mean, if not 40, against Baltimore. Against Baltimore, think about it. And I know they're not 100% in terms of they'll be clicking themselves later, but 40 points was doable against one of the better defenses in football, and that's what we used to say. So we used to say when this offense was rolling, not last year. And so we saw every bit of evidence why they're going to be back in the top five, and Rashee Rice is going to be a huge part of that. But Hollywood Brown, when he gets back to, let's not forget, we keep mentioning like stretching the field. Hollywood Brown can do that. But the one thing Mahomes in the offseason kept saying about Hollywood Brown that he was surprised about was how good his route running is. And so it's not just going to be stretching the field. There's going to be some of these underneath stuff for Hollywood Brown available, too, when he gets back in a week or two.
If you weren't there before, and I'll take your calls, we can take your calls on the Chiefs game last night, 913-586-7965. That's 913-586-7965. You want to give the show a call? Tell us what you thought about last night's game. We can do that as well. But I'll ask you this question as well. If you weren't there before, is there anyone left who does not think Rashee Rice is leading this team in receiving yardage at the end of the year?
Oh, I'm sure there's some people left out there that would still say
Are
Kelce.
You?
No, but I also think it's going to be much. It's not just be a runaway. Like, I don't think.
No, I don't think he's going to beat him by 700 yards.
You know, one game.
I think it'll be 150 or
two. You know, I want to be careful with one game. One game of Travis Kelce having 30 yards, do I think now that he's only going to have 700?
Might be reversed next week.
Very much so, right? Like, they would not surprise me one bit. And that's the beautiful thing, though, about what, you know, with now that that's out there, right? Every team in football, everybody was watching that game, and they are going to look at film anyway. But, like, if you're Cincy and then the Falcons the next week, all right, that Rashee, like, you better be ready for that. And if you are ready for that, then what do you do when they all of a sudden that opens things up for Kelce and it opens, you know, you keep going through this offense. They have so many more options now in the passing game than they had a year ago. So, yeah, I mean, Rashee Rice right now is pacing for 1,700 yards, Cody. So, you know, I don't think either
1,757. Don't shortchange.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I don't think he's getting that. But if anybody thought he wasn't getting to 1,000, I don't know how you could say that. I mean, if he stays healthy, he's getting, he almost got over. I mean,
he's he's 10% of the way there already.
I mean, he's going to be easily a 1,000-yard receiver this season. The question will be, if he stays healthy, can he elevate that and become a 1,300-plus yard receiver? After last night, people are like, well, sure, of course. Let's see how the... But yesterday was a great performance from Rice, and he talked in the locker room, too, a little bit just about... he's learned from Travis and how Travis is opening things up as well.
Rasheed, what made the connection between you and Patrick so effective tonight?
Practice. Just being able to come out and prepare for practice to not have mistakes or any errors.
What sort of statement do you feel like you and the Chiefs offense made after this one?
That we're not worried about last year. We're focused on what's going on right now.
Rasheed, going up, a lot of it was just between the hash marks. Was that the game plan all along? And just how do you feel comfortable in that role, just working the hash marks?
I feel great, being able to maneuver in the middle because we've got guys that's going to take the top off on the outside. So, I mean, I kind of get a little bit of Trav in there. And, you know, when Trav takes it over top, I can go into him. I'm just learning from Trav, to be honest. So that's where all that comes from.
How did you see it from Xavier today?
Speed. Speed. He's going to take the top off every time.
You guys won. You scored 27. But do you feel like you guys still left some points out there on the field?
100%. We left a lot of points out there. But, you know, that's what comes with the game. So that we can watch film and go back to practice and get on the drawing board and figure out how to get in the box.
You know, last year there wasn't a lot of explosiveness at times in the offense. You obviously had a lot of it tonight. How did you feel like that progressed throughout the summer and then turned into what we saw this year?
I think it had a lot to do with obviously preparing during the offseason, but adding guys to the roster to where you kind of make the defense worry about, you know, deep threats and, you know, under routes and stuff like that.
What were you thinking watching that last play, seeing it on the jumbotron?
Out of bounds, out of bounds, out of bounds.
So that was Rashee Rice in the locker room yesterday.
God, he was just barely out of bounds, too.
He was. Isaiah Likely just by a toe. And text line is asking, thanks to you, when the toe picture is happening. There is no toe picture.
Yeah, send out a picture of your toe. Isaiah Likely going out of bounds.
Nobody wants to see.
Just one toe picture, man. It's not that big a deal.
Nobody wants to see a picture of my
toe. It is that big
toe.
Of a deal.
I do need to clarify two things because I've seen Ravens fans in my mentions and I've seen people ask this real question as Chiefs fans. There's two things from last night that I think the people are like, if you don't follow the rules closely, you're like, wait, is this okay? On the Isaiah Likely pass, someone said, well, he forced the receiver towards the back of the end zone. So by the rule of the law, that should be a catch anyway. No, it's not. You can shove a receiver out of the back of the end zone now. That's been in place for like 5+ years.
Yeah, they brought that up last night.
And the Steve Spagnuolo timeout
thing. Yeah. So
first, Andy was trying to call the timeout. It was honored. Spags thought it wasn't. So he tried to like wind sprint to make sure you get it. Is Steve Spagnuolo allowed to call a timeout? Is it not a catch? No, he is not.
No.
Is there a punishment if the refereeing crew were to give Steve Spagnuolo that timeout? There is also not. They're supposed to just ignore Steve. And if they give him the timeout, so what? It's a timeout and everybody lives their life.
I couldn't tell until someone sent me a clip because live, you could see the far ref
they gave
acknowledges
the
back pylon, I guess it would have been.
Yeah.
Saw Andy was acknowledging it. The other official didn't. The other official sees Spags and he made the mistake and acknowledged the timeout, but they awarded Andy the timeout. It's just a whole,
doesn't matter. The rule says you're not in trouble if they award it.
But it's also just the BS national narrative that anything, you know, the league wants the Chiefs to win. It's the BS that any team that wins, people go into the conspiracy territory of it. Spags running.
I mean, to come up on social media.
Spags running down the field. They acknowledged Andy Reid's timeout first, even though it looked weird. I actually blame the clip that I saw from the broadcast on that. That what they showed made it seem like
Spags got.
There's not like, oh, it's a 15-yard penalty.
It just immediately becomes anyone from Barstool because of their general patriot loyalty being like, they don't get the same rules. And you're like, yeah, they do. They just did. Also, a timeout in that moment. What do you want them to do? Give him a 15-yard penalty because Spags trying to call a timeout?
Is that what
also,
the penalty
is? Also, what can
is?
An assistant coach no, call a timeout?
I don't think there is.
I was going to say there never was.
They're just supposed to ignore it. It doesn't count as a timeout.
The exact letter of the rule says they are not allowed to, they're supposed to ignore you. They are not allowed to give a timeout. Okay. If a timeout is given to an assistant coach in a case in which they're not supposed to get it, the rule is nothing happens. They just got the timeout and everyone lives their life. Yeah. That's what it says in the rule book. We don't care. That's pretty much what they
It's on the refs.
We don't care. Yeah, the refs are supposed to ignore you. Be like, yo, Steve, you don't get to call timeouts, man. The hell out of here. Two people are allowed. Well, two.
Yeah,
players on the field and Andy Reid. That's who is allowed to call a timeout. So if you're not Andy Reid, and I don't think anyone's confusing Spags for Andy, then they get to just ignore you. And they didn't even give, yeah, they gave Andy the timeout before, but you know it is.
That's a nothing burger, but that's one of, you know, if you're looking and grasping for something, people will find
it. I'm sure Baltimore radio today is doing nothing but that. Saying, I can't believe they kept calling illegal formation, and Juwan was doing the same thing, and Isaiah should have been in, but they pushed him a little.
Was the fan base complaining as much as some of the players were?
Oh, man, the players.
Yeah, we'll get back to that in the 1 o'clock hour and play.
Yeah, we kind of have to.
Because whether it was Lamar still thinking it was a touchdown, whether it was Isaiah likely just saying that, you know, basically the Chiefs better play better in the postseason, like as if they don't have postseason success. We'll get to all that again. But in the meantime,
random question.
For you, Gold. For you, Drew, over in the text line, 913-586-7965. Of course, you can follow us on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook. Down on the video stream a little bit today, but we're up now, baby. Up and rolling. Gold and I figured out an annoying technical issue that has now been resolved. I want to murder somebody, but when we... don't cut that separately.
There's a drop. Thank you.
But for everybody, including the tech issue I had later, the question I have for you today, I had a question about kind of the games this weekend, but yours seemed more fun when you had mentioned that you'd quit on Ted Lasso. So instead of asking you which show you quit, and we all know which show we never finished, yours might be Ted Lasso, mine's The Walking Dead. You're like, I started it. I'm not getting through the end of this series ever. I'm just never going to pick that show back up. The question I have for you is, what is the series you have been telling yourself you are going to start forever and still have not watched? Everyone has a show that they're like, oh, I'm going to watch that show. I'm getting around to it. Maybe it's House of the Dragon for somebody because they watched all the Game of Thrones stuff.
Yeah, mine, a lot is, that come to mind.
Mine is Peaky Blinders.
Oh,
I have told
yeah, man.
Myself,
that's good.
I have told you myself 50 times. I'm going to watch Peaky Blinders.
Drew just likes to have the accent.
And have I ever watched it? No. Never watched a single episode. Never got around to it. Just told myself.
Peaky Blinders.
That's a terrible one.
No, hang on. No, it is not.
Peaky Blinders. That's how he said it. Kind of weird. That's all right.
This show is really good. Yeah, you need to watch Peaky Blinders. There's a couple that come to mind for me. One actually is House of Dragon. You were correct.
I've started that. I'm actively watching that right now.
I have never seen Yellowstone.
I've never seen Yellowstone either, but it's also not one of those shows I've told myself I was going to watch.
Many people have mentioned that I wanted to like a year ago, and I just, for whatever reason, I haven't. But again, one thing I still, that you can't complain about too many, we've said this, you have never watched The Sopranos, so that's a tough one for me. For you.
Over on Twitch, someone said Succession. I'm like, God, watch it. And I get it. It's like, yourself, and once it's already done, you're like, oh, now I'm getting into
very
it. I've never told myself I was going to watch Sopranos. I just never watched it. Peaky Blinders is an actual show. I'm convinced myself I'm going
to
pick it up.
It's now turning into a movie, by the way. They're making a movie.
On which one? Peaky Blinders?
They're making a movie to essentially bring it all together.
Somebody said Better Call Saul. If you watch Breaking Bad, then you have to.
I haven't finished that show, though.
You never finished Better Call Saul?
No.
Why?
Because then we had a real life Chiefsaholic attorney thing.
Did you finish Curb Your Enthusiasm?
No, I've barely watched that.
So you never finish any shows. You just start shows and never finish them?
I mean,
you finish any series?
It's
starting to feel like he doesn't finish watching shows.
Breaking Bad, House of Cards,
there's
Sopranos,
a lot of shows that I've
The Wire.
Someone said it's an older show for them. They always told themselves they were going to watch Lost. I really liked Lost. Didn't end strong, a little bit of the Game of Thrones, but I wouldn't apologize for the earlier great episodes that are on there. Someone says if you watch Peaky Blinders, make sure you have the subtitles on. Thick accents?
I don't need that.
I mean, yeah, the accents are thick, but I think you'll be able to pick up on them. I have never watched Tiger King. Never watched an episode of that.
Well, that was only during COVID.
We were desperate for content.
That was just because we needed it. If that came out in 2024, nobody would have ever watched it.
I know. Well, that's the reason why, like, it's a little surprising, I think, that I haven't watched it. I haven't seen an episode of Squid Game either, the Squid Games. Or Squid Game,
I watched two or three episodes of that, too, and never.
Finish any show, dude. Yeah. What's the last show you finished, start to finish?
Ooh.
What's the last show you actually... Stranger Things?
Well, that show is not over yet, though.
Have you watched every episode
absolutely.
That's aired?
I binge-watched that, though. You know, that's the show I binge-watch, so it's done quick, but...
The last show that I've watched, I guess it's weird though. So
it's like a book. I'll watch a show even if I don't like it anymore. I'll finish it.
Well, that seems miserable. But anyways,
I mean, in terms of like, this is like,
I don't want to just quit every show.
This is like Netflix though, because I feel like,
no, it's like certain, 10 seasons. Relax.
Because certain shows are still ongoing, if you will. Like they haven't for example, the FBI International. My wife and I watch those. Are still ongoing.
Yeah, someone went way back in time, Drew. They said NYPD Blue. I watched that plenty. I've seen it. Andy Sipowicz. Oh, man, that's an old school show. I love
that. I don't
think
you've seen every episode of that either, but
there's a lot of those. But yeah. I've seen quite a few, but there's a lot.
There's a lot of these I've never heard of. I'll be totally honest with you.
What's Mark and Mindy?
That
Mork
one?
And Mindy, presumably?
Well, that's, I'm just reading the text. I don't know.
Oh, it was corrected for that. Mork and Mindy. That's a show with Robin Williams from like the 80s.
Okay. I never heard of Better Call Saul. I don't know what that is.
That's the prequel to Breaking Bad.
I haven't seen Breaking Bad either. But
wow! I mean, that is widely... I've seen Sopranos, but that is widely considered one of the five greatest shows of all time.
I have not watched.
I mean, between the both of you, Sopranos and Breaking Bad are both considered easily top 10 of all time shows, and neither one of you have seen them?
Have you seen The Wire?
No.
Have you seen any of the best shows of all time?
According to you guys,
So no Wire, no Game of Thrones?
No Breaking Bad? I've seen a couple episodes of Game of Thrones. Never got fully into it.
Okay, let me pull up a list of like Rolling Stone's 100 greatest shows, because I want to know how many of these Drew's actually seen.
Seinfeld will be up there. I have seen that one, obviously.
I don't know if it'll be up there. You know,
Seinfeld would consider it. Seinfeld has to be in the top 100.
Most people would. Oh, it might be in the top 10. Most people think it's in the top 10.
It should be. It's like,
and
the
I'm
best,
not even
best
a big Seinfeld fan, but
Seinfeld and Martin.
Okay. The top 10 shows of all time, according to Rolling Stone last year. Let's find out which ones Drew has seen. Have you seen The Sopranos? No. You just said that. The Simpsons?
No. I've not watched one episode of The Simpsons.
Breaking Bad? He already said no. The Wire? No. He's over. Fleabag?
No.
And I haven't watched that either. That's on Amazon. It's reportedly a very good show. I have talked about watching that too. Seinfeld?
Yes.
He's seen one. Mad Men?
Oh, Mad Men's really good.
Great show.
You've never seen Mad Men?
No, Mad Men. Cheers? No way you've seen Cheers. Atlanta? That's another great show.
I've watched maybe one or two episodes, but not...
So you've watched one of the top 10 of all time, according to this list?
Yes. Succession.
And I have not watched Succession.
What do you watch on TV, Drew? He's watching Mac football on a Wednesday night.
Do you want to know what my wife and I have just recently... We're almost finished with it. You guys will not be able to guess. It's a cartoon.
BoJack Horseman.
No.
I'm just guessing a cartoon.
What cartoon are you watching?
We've been rolling through all the Scooby-Doos. Every single one of them.
Okay.
We're kids at heart, man.
Okay.
I'm 28.
No, you're kid not at heart. I'm in 28. Action.
Yeah, it's fine.
You're watching
Scooby-Doos, baby.
You've been getting through the Scooby-Doo series?
Hell yes.
That's not the answer.
You could give me
100 guesses.
Flintstones
too.
Lined up next.
I would never have guessed Scooby-Doo.
We actually went through the Flintstones. Why be an adult when you can still be a kid? You know,
you do you, man. You know what? You do you. Whatever makes you happy. You know, anybody that should be.
Why do I need to watch Game of Thrones when I can
watch whatever you want? You know, I tell you that with the food. Eat whatever food you want to. Same thing.
No, get new experiences. Try new things.
But I don't want to. I don't want to watch Breaking Bad. What good does Breaking Bad do for me now?
It's an incredible television show product.
But it does nothing for me.
Well, how do you know you haven't watched it?
Oh, I've seen commercials.
I'm starting to think he doesn't like dramas. He's the opposite of you.
I've seen commercials and
he likes no drama. Think about all the shows. Mad Men, Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul, The Sopranos. I think he doesn't like drama. He's watching Scooby-Doo. He doesn't like dramatic television.
Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Come on now.
I thought you were going to tell me you guys were just watching Rugrats then too at the same time.
No, I cannot stand that show.
Really? That was crazy.
I haven't seen one episode of Rugrats.
As a kid, that was Rugrats was
me,
incredible.
Like crime shows. I love crime shows.
Someone said over on Twitch, why not said Scooby-Doo's a drama series? Solving the mystery, you know?
That's right. Yeah.
Burglars and murderers and stuff, you know?
That's the random question, all right.
I didn't think it was going that direction, but okay.
Up next, 1 o'clock hour, we get right back into the Chiefs, and we have our friend Aaron Ladd from 41 join us for Club Fantastic that we renamed to the Fan Club next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And
thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.